ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद्भगवद्गीता एज इट इज ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट 29 आश्चर्यवत् पश्यति कश्चिदेनम् आश्चर्यवत् वदति तथैव चान्यः आश्चर्यवत् चैनमन्यः शृणोति शुद्वाप्येनं वेद न चैव कश्चित् आश्चर्यवत् पश्यति कश्चिदेनम् आश्चर्यवत् वदति तथैव चान्यः आश्चर्यवत् चैनम् अन्यः शृणोति शुद्वाप्येनं वेद न चैव कश्चित् आश्चर्यवत् पश्यति कश्चिदेनम् आश्चर्यवत् वदति तथैव चान्यः आश्चर्यवत् चैनमन्यः शृणोति शुद्वाप्येनं वेद न चैव कश्चित् No, shudvapyenam. You're saying shudvapyenam. It should be pronounced shudvapyenam. Can you say it, those two words? Shudvapyenam. Okay. Some look on the soul as amazing, some describe him as amazing, and some hear of him as amazing, while others, even after hearing about him, cannot understand him at all. Purport. Since Gita Upanishad is largely based on the principles of the Upanishads, it is not surprising to also find this passage in the Katha Upanishad. I can hardly read it. Shravanasyapi bahubir yona labhya shrinvanto pi bahavo yangna vidyuhu ascharyo vakta kushalasya labdha ascharyasya gyata kushalam ashishtaha. Kushalana shishtaha. The fact that the atomic soul is within the body of a gigantic animal, in the body of a gigantic banyan tree, and also in the microbic germs, millions and billions of which occupy only an inch of space, is certainly very amazing. Men with a poor fund of knowledge and men who are not austere cannot understand the wonders of the individual atomic spark of spirit, even though it is explained by the greatest authority of knowledge, who imparted lessons even to Brahma, the first living being in the universe. Owing to a gross material conception of things, most men in this age cannot imagine how such a small particle can become both so great and so small. So men look at the soul proper as wonderful, either by constitution or by description. Illusioned by the material energy, people are so engrossed in subject matters for sense gratification that they have very little time to understand the question of self-understanding, even though it is a fact that without this self-understanding, all activities result in ultimate defeat in the struggle for existence. Perhaps they have no idea that one must think of the soul and thus make a solution to the material miseries. Some people who are inclined to hear about the soul may be attending lectures in good association, but sometimes, owing to ignorance, they are misguided by acceptance of the supersoul and the atomic soul as one without distinction of magnitude. It is very difficult to find a man who perfectly understands the position of the supersoul, the atomic soul, their respective functions and relationships, and all other major and minor details. And it is still more difficult to find a man who has actually derived full benefit from knowledge of the soul, and who is able to describe the position of the soul in different aspects. But if, somehow or other, one is able to understand the subject matter of the soul, then one's life is successful. The easiest process for understanding the subject matter of self, however, is to accept the statements of the Bhagavad Gita, spoken by the greatest authority, Lord Krishna, without being deviated by other theories. But it also requires a great deal of penance and sacrifice, either in this life or in the previous ones, before one is able to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna can, however, be known as such by the causeless mercy of the pure devotee and by no other way. Amazing discussion of the soul. Some people find it amazing that people even discuss this topic at all. They think, what is this nonsense? There's no soul. If you cut up the body, you won't find any soul. So there's no soul. We didn't see it, so it doesn't exist. The first man in space, which means he went up a little bit in a Sputnik, this Yuri Gagarin, in the days of the communist rule of the USSR, he went up in space and looked out in space and said, I didn't see any God. It means there's no God. And persons like us hearing this, we're amazed that people can be so foolish as to say such things. Srila Prabhupada writes here that even though this topic is very difficult to understand for materialistic people, because it's not revealed to everyone, it's knowledge. After all, knowledge is something, we think that we own it, but it's revealed to us. It's a gift. Someone is very intelligent, someone is less intelligent, someone has more ability to remember things than others, someone has more ability to understand things than others. And someone may be very knowledgeable, but they may lose their knowledge in course of time due to old age, senility, disease. And anyway, they lose it all when they die. So knowledge, we may be very proud that we're very intelligent, but knowledge is a gift to us. So knowledge of the soul, it requires a certain kind of understanding. And there are many such topics. More or less, everyone, every human, unless there's most humans, unless they're severely mentally retarded or psychologically challenged, as we would say nowadays, they can understand that 1 + 1 = 2. Even if they've never been to an arithmetic class, they know that if you have one mango and then someone gives you another mango, you have 2 mangoes, for instance. But not everyone can grasp even basic principles of algebra and geometry. For instance, a² + b² = c², and then the sum of a² and b² is equal to the sum of c², where a and b are equal sides in a right-angled triangle, and c is the hypotenuse. So that gets a bit tough for some people, and then when you get into calculus and quantum physics, not everyone can understand. So not everyone has the same ability to understand. So to understand the soul, it's not that everyone can understand it. Srila Prabhupada writes here that somehow or other, if somehow or other one is able to understand the subject matter of the soul, then one's life is successful. So that's why we're discussing this, because even though one may have a good grasp of quantum mechanical theory, we can say, because no one's really sure about all these things, or the non-surety about it is one of the principles of it. But that knowledge won't really help one. At the time of death, one can quote all kinds of mathematical formulae and Yamaraj will still drag him off. And as he's being dragged off to hell, he can calculate within his mind the differential speed of his movement, but and he can calculate the differential speed of the club just about to land on his head, but still he has to suffer the pain. So to understand the subject matter of the soul makes one's life successful. What is that success? Success means to come to the position of Satchit Ananda. Eternity, not having to die. Chit, to actually understand things as they are. You may say, well, as already said, you understand the subject matter of the soul. Well, that's just the beginning. It's only the beginning. It may be very difficult for people to understand, but it's only the beginning. And then Ananda, full, unlimited bliss. That is the constitutional position of the soul. So why can't people understand it? If we are a soul, we are Jivatma, then why don't we understand it? Well, that is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Prema Vivarta. The whole situation is summed up. Krishna bahirmukhoya bhogavancha kare nikatastha mayatare japatiya dhare. The whole situation is summed up. When we become inimical to Krishna, so there's a lot of philosophy or understanding which goes before this. The understanding is that we, as spirit soul, we are subordinate to the Supreme Soul. As Prabhupada points out here, some people, they kind of understand about the soul, there's birth and death according to our karmic reactions, according to our consciousness at the time of death. It's all taught in Bhagavad Gita. But they have this illusion that the Jivatma and the Paramatma are one and the same. The Atma is just forgotten that he's Paramatma, and then he remembers. But no, this is not correct. We are all eternal parts and parcels of Krishna, Amai Vangsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha, and we are meant to serve him in pure love, and that's where the Ananda comes from. And the Ananda is the Premananda, the Ananda of pure love of Krishna. But when we don't want to serve Krishna, when we become inimical to Krishna, then it's not that our propensity to enjoy goes away, it continues. But real happiness is in serving Krishna, but then happiness propensity becomes diverted to trying to enjoy this material world. And then Maya, who's all ready to catch us, catches us. We become caught in Maya. Or put in another way, Krishna bhuli seji vanadi bahimukha taiv maya tare dia saṃsāraduk. When we forget Krishna, we forget, I don't serve Krishna. Forget it. Forget it. I can get by without Krishna. If we think like that, then we become inimical to Krishna. We forget Krishna. Forget Krishna means we turn away from Krishna. We turn away from Krishna and then we are in this material existence and Maya gives us all kinds of suffering. It's crazy. Why should we do that? Sometimes people say that why should anyone turn away from Krishna? If we're meant to serve Krishna, then why should anyone do that? If we're the pure spirit soul, the situation of the pure spirit soul is in love of Krishna, then why should we turn away? It's very difficult to explain, but Jagadananda Pandit has stated in his Prema Vivarta, Pishachi Paile Jaina Moti Chhannahoy, Maya Grasta Jibe Hoy She Bhavudoy. It's just like someone who becomes haunted by a ghost. Have you ever seen anyone haunted by a ghost? Has anyone seen? You've not seen? And nowadays they'll call it some psychological disease. But it's quite a common thing, and I've seen such a person. They become... I saw one boy, he was... How old? Maybe 10 or 12 years old. And he was absolutely against his parents. He had this vicious look on his face. And he wanted to beat his parents. And they become so strong that even two big strong men can't hold him. They get this strength from the ghost. And just exactly their nature becomes exactly the opposite. And they become very bad and evil and possessed by a ghost. This is not Hindu folklore. All over the world such things are known. In fact, I believe it was in the 1980s, one film became very famous called The Exorcist. And it's about someone who became haunted by a ghost, or they call it possessed by the devil. And then they have this fearsome look on their face, and they want to do harm to others, and they become very strong physically, and there's nothing you can do to talk to them or convince them. They become absolutely like another person, and not a good person, never a good person, always a very bad person. So they completely forget their own real nature. And it sometimes happens that some people, they get haunted by the ghost, and at some time the ghost goes away. Usually at night the ghost becomes strong. So then they become the same normal self. Then again at night they become haunted like this. So that is the situation of someone who is in Maya. We forget who our loving benefactor is, Krishna, and we become against Krishna. And what's the explanation? There's no real explanation. It's just madness, that's all. Yeah, how can you explain? Someone's just mad. There is such a thing as madness. So when someone... we may say, well, if someone's completely pure, why would they turn away from Krishna? There's no real explanation. It's just madness. And we see that. There's a madness. There's a kind of rodent called a lemming, and they huge numbers of them. At some point, huge numbers of them will all run to the sea and jump off the cliff and drown in the sea. Thousands of them, they all go together, running. What's the explanation? There's no explanation. It doesn't make any sense. You'll see countries, they go to war, and they're just destroying each other. And they could just say, okay, let's stop. Let's finish. Why did they start in the first place? And when one side may win, it's called a Pyrrhic victory. That means they win the war, but in the meantime, their own country is completely smashed to pieces. So what did they gain, actually? It's just like in the Second World War, this Hitler, I believe it was in 1941, said to Britain, okay, why don't we just stop fighting? Let's stop the fighting. And Britain said, no. And they went on for another 4 years until both sides were completely smashed. The British supposed to have won the war, but their whole country was smashed in so many ways. So many people got killed. Why should they do it? It's just madness. It means impelled by Maya, by an illusory force. They feel, I have to do it. It makes no sense. There's no rationality in it, why they should do that. But they press on. They feel there's some for they have to they're as if impelled. And Arjuna asked some question in Bhagavad Gita, one of his questions. Atakena prayuktoyam papam charati purushaha anichannapi varshaya baladiva niyojitaha. He said that why is it sometimes we're doing something wrong and we know it's wrong, but still we do it and we just can't stop ourselves. And Krishna says, kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna samudbhavaha. He said, it's just a material desire. It overwhelms us. And that becomes transformed into anger. It's impelled by rajoguna. We're impelled. We're not in control of ourselves. There's a force to do. So Maya is like that. When we go against Krishna, then we lose control of ourselves. With the great endeavor of the yogis, we'll find much of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about the yogi who has to control himself, control the mind and senses. And this suggests that most people are not in control of their mind and senses. And when Arjuna is given this idea, okay, this is what it means to be a yogi, he says, well, it's too difficult. That means that pretty much everyone in this world is wandering around with a mind out of control. And how can you expect any sanity when everyone, their mind is out of control? Everyone's a madman. That is the situation in this world. We say, man is a rational animal. Well, I don't know. It seems in some ways the animals are more sane than the humans. At least they don't torture each other and make wars to kill and destroy each other. Maybe a lion kills an animal from time to time to eat it, but they don't make wars between the lions. Of course, there may be some packs of dogs fight and this and that, but nothing as sophisticated and as devastating as the humans are. Nowadays, there's a lot of talk about the environmental damage that's done in the world. Actually, this whole world, There'd be no environmental damage, there'd be no problem whatsoever. It's just because of one species called humans. If there were no humans, then all this mess up of the whole world wouldn't be there. Of course, human life is meant for God realization. Humans should be here, but how they're messing up everything and destroying everything because they have no knowledge of what the purpose of life is. A madman. Whole society of madmen, that's all. So, what happens when one forgets that he's spirit soul? He comes under the influence of Maya and he forgets Krishna. Ami nitya Krishna das ekatha bhule mayar nafa hoya chiradin bhule. This is Prem Vivarta Jagadananda Pandit. He says that the fact that I am an eternal servant of Krishna just completely forgets it. No idea whatsoever. It's just like someone, they have amnesia, they can't remember anything. Sometimes it happens, people have an accident, they hit their head and they wake up in hospital. They can't remember their own name, who they are. They can't, even their wife comes, they have no recognition whatsoever. They just completely forget everything, just go completely blank. For a person with amnesia, you can build a new identity, but they just can't. Of course, they may gradually remember. There are degrees of severity of amnesia also. Not everyone forgets everything. But that is our condition. We forgot Krishna and we identify ourselves with some position in the material world. But actually, we're just a servant of Maya. If we forget that I'm a servant of Krishna, then we become a servant of Maya. And this goes on over, just on and on and on and on and on and on over long, long time. It seems like time immemorial. We're wandering in this material world, forgetting that we're the servant of Krishna. And Jagadananda describes further, Kabu Raja, Kabu Praja, Kabu Biprashudra, Kabu Shuki, Kabu Duki, Kabu Kita Khudra. So this is our position. Sometimes we're a king. And we think, oh, that's very nice, I'd like to be a king. And then, but more, many more times, we're just an ordinary person. Sometimes we're born as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, sometimes as a Shudra. Sometimes we're in a relatively happy position. Sometimes we suffer excruciatingly. Just like some people, they have terrible headaches every day, day after day after day after day. Some people, their life, in so many ways, they suffer. Actually, if we think of the ways we can be happy, there are not that many ways. But if we think of the ways we can be unhappy, there are many more ways, isn't it, if you think about it? Some people, they devise different systems of torture. There are practically unlimited ways you can make torture. The United Nations, they made a list of all the tortures that you're not supposed to do. So the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency of America, they invented some new torture. And they said, it's not in the United Nations book, so we can do it. Waterboarding, they call it. So that's one method of torture. So many different ways we can suffer. It says here, kabu suki, kabu duki. But actually it's mostly duki. And even the sukis, they're also suffering. Actually the sukis, they suffer more when they're having so much enjoyment, so-called enjoyment, and then they lose it, they suffer more. Just like a rich man, he loses all his money, he becomes poor, he suffers. Oh, I was so rich, I lost it all. But the poor man, he's used to being poor, so he doesn't suffer so much. He just accepts, well, I was born with a plastic spoon in my mouth, and that's just, he identifies with that situation, so he feels relatively comfortable in that situation. But a man who has had fame, wealth and the fame and the acclaim and the honor that comes with that, he suffers more from losing that. Sambhavitasya cha kirtir marana dati richati. As Krishna tells Arjuna, that for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. So sometimes one is born as an insect, like the one I just blew off this piece of paper. There are so many kinds of... There's another one. Insect. We're all, as Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport, what does he say? You're talking about microbic germs, millions and billions of which occupy only an inch of space. Well, that's a modern perspective, because... this idea of germs, it's a modern, relatively modern idea. But there's the germs, there's all living beings. There are millions and billions of living beings. We can't even see them. But they're also, maybe the fly who's just buzzing around here, previously he might have been the Raja. There was here in this area, there was the Nawab, wasn't it, of Arcot? Big man, until I think the French... came and fought him, and it was the British who conquered him, ultimately. So, he was a big man, but maybe he's just buzzing around here as a fly here. You can't tell. Or maybe the fly in a few lifetimes may be the President of the United States of America, if there still is a United States of America. Don't know how long they're going to remain united. But that's the way the samsara chakra goes, up and down, up and down. But there are much less positions at the top than at the bottom. So there are many more living beings in the bodies of insects and worms and germs and snakes and rats than there are in the bodies of humans, and what to speak of the so-called high-class human. So this description is being given by Jagadananda Pandit just to give us a little idea of what a bad situation we're in. He continues, Kabu Sharge, Kabe Marte, Narakeba Kabu, Kabe Kabu Dev, Kabu Daita, Kabu Dasa Prabhu. Sometimes one's in the heavenly planets. You think, oh, that's very nice. Oh, good, I can go to heaven. But there comes a time when one is in heaven, tetang bhukva swargalokang vishalam kshine punye martyalokang vishanti. When one's stock of pious benefits is exhausted, then has to fall down to this world of martyalok, this earth planet. One of its names is martyalok, because in the heavenly planets, life goes on for a long time, so the demigods are misleadingly called amara, which means those who don't die, but it's just misleading because they also die. But they live a very long life compared to life on this earth, where we have to die quickly. It doesn't take much time. Practically we're born and we die. We hear about some kinds of bugs. They're born after sunset and then they grow up and they do their mating and then they die before sunrise. So their whole life goes between one sunset and one sunrise. But they think, oh, it's a very, very long life. So our life is like that. Kamala jala jala jivana talamala. It can end at any time. Like the drop of water on lotus leaf, it can drop off any time. But definitely we won't live very long. Nowadays if someone lives to be more than 100 years, they think, oh, living a very long life. But even that's suffering, because after the age of, usually maximum age 80, people, they don't have much bodily strength, and they can't do much, so they're just incapacitated. So their long life drags on and on and on and on. And they're just waiting to die. They don't have any friends. All their friends already died. And they're just waiting to die. So in some countries now, they allow that. People, they want to, I just want to die. Okay, so they can go to the doctor. The doctor gives them an injection and it's all legal. It's legal in Holland and it's just been legalized in California. That's assisted euthanasia, where it's not exactly suicide, but you have the doctor kill you. It's all legal. So, sometimes we're in heaven, sometimes we're on the earth planet, sometimes we're in hell. Some people don't believe in hell. If they don't believe in hell, we can give them a journey to Syria. It's probably Syria at the present time. Previously it was a peaceful country. Nowadays it's hell. Just completely hellish situation. And who knows, that situation may come here. It may have been hellish here also during the time of there was fighting here in this area. The Marathas, they also came down here. So you can just imagine, you're in your village and you're doing your farming, and all of a sudden the Maratha army comes in. And of course, previously they were more civilized, but the armies, they can just come into a village and kill people and take the women and rape them and take all the food and burn it. And this is pillage, burn, loot. That was the policy of invading armies, in at least up until recent times. So you're just living peacefully in your village, and all of it, there was like that in Bangladesh. People were living peacefully in their village, and then the Pakistani army arrived and it was just hell. Just hell. So there is hell even on this earth, especially in this Kali Yuga. So someone can become a demigod, but the demigod can again become a demon. Sometimes one is born as a servant situation, sometimes one is born as a lord. It's all useless. We have nothing to do with any of these situations. We're all eternal servants of Krishna. So this is the science of the soul. It's being taught here in this Bhagavad Gita. We should try to understand it very carefully and not identify with this body. Understand that I am an eternal servant of Krishna. I have nothing to do with this material world. Somehow I'm in this body, I have to try and maintain it, which in this Kali Yuga, just to keep the body healthy, seems to be almost like a full-time job. There are some people who They'll go for exercise in the morning and regular checkups and so many things. And if they don't, then they have so much physical problem. Almost everyone in the modern age. Just like we were discussing last night, there was no cancer in India, maybe 40 years ago. As I just read recently, one of our devotees came from America. This must have been in the early 1980s, and she had cancer. She went to Vrindavan. She wanted to die. But then the devotees took her to the cancer clinic. Which cancer clinic? The only one in India, which was in Delhi. There was only one cancer clinic in the whole of India in the early 1980s, because cancer was practically unknown. Now, in every Indian language, previously if you say in Hindi, cancer, people don't know, they never heard of it. But now everyone knows. In Tamil also, I presume, people know, if you say cancer, everyone knows. It's the onslaught of Kali Yuga. So we're not this body. We are eternal servants of Krishna. Basic point we are to understand. And we should repeat it again and again and again. Because we might be talking of very high philosophy and gopis and so many things. But unless we very clearly understand we're not this body, then so many misunderstandings will come. And people talk of gopis and then they think I'll dress up. A man will dress up as a gopi and think he can become a gopi like this because he doesn't understand that it's the soul who is to serve Krishna. Not that the body is to be decorated as a gopi. Of course, the body is to serve Krishna through the process of Vaidhi Bhakti. The example is given of Ambarish Maharaj. Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindaya Vachangsi Vaikuntha Gunarna Varnana. All his beginning with his mind, all his senses and his bodily activities, all engaged in the service of Krishna. Because he understood that my designation is as a Maharaj, a big shot, but really my true designation is that I am a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas. I'm not this body. It may seem very easy for us to understand. That's by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada we can understand this. Otherwise, people don't understand. And there are so many big famous gurus. Here we have in South India, the hugging woman goes all over the world and hugs people. It's just demonstrating her ignorance in doing so. And others who come to get hugged by her think, how wonderful. But it doesn't benefit them in the slightest. They may think, oh, it feels very nice, but still they have to go on birth after birth. Recently, the Pope went to America and people thought, how nice the Pope came. But he didn't give them any spiritual knowledge that they're not the body because he himself doesn't know. These big, big so-called religious leaders, they don't even know the ABCs of spiritual understanding, that we're not the body, we're spirit soul. And if you try to explain to them, they say, no. They can't understand it, which means they're not. They may be a big religious leader, but they have no spiritual knowledge, no clear understanding of everything. So we're very grateful to Srila Prabhupada for having given us this knowledge. It's Krishna's knowledge. Srila Prabhupada has given it to us, and we should try to distribute that to others also. Distribute these books. Give people this knowledge. Let them be free from the suffering of identifying themselves with a position in this material world. Hare Krishna. Is there any question, please? No question. All right. Everything clear, we hope. Oh, you have the Urdu Bhagavad Gitas, is it? Mm-hmm. Good. You find Urdu-speaking Muslims come to the hospital here, is it? In the trains, I see. But the local Muslims, they North Indian. They learned Urdu now in the madrasas. If they have madrasa education, then they know Urdu. I see. So they like to take the Bhagavad Gita in Urdu. Some of them are taking it.
Of principal of what? A madrasa?
Of a school. Small school.
It means a madrasa. You don't know that word, madrasa?
You also say Bomber school.
Oh, I see. But you don't know the word madrasa? Really? It's not known here in Tamil? They don't know even the word. You see, North India, everyone knows the word madrasa. In yeah, it's a Muslim school for boys, not for adults. It's for boys. Yeah, in Arcot, there's a Muslim area. Yeah, in North India, everyone knows that word. It's a common word. Hindus and Muslims, they both know it.
Mm.
Good.
Actually, he was like he had interfaith. He was happy with the Hinduism also, and like that he was. But he didn't openly preach among his community because then they become inimical towards him.
Yeah.
But he took it and he is reading that for Uttamala Vida.
Oh, good. You're in contact with him. Okay, you can give him this other book then.
Yeah.
Mm. Good. Jai. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.